Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider Call is presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights that sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, thanks for giving us a couple moments. Appreciate the time.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Always great to be on with you guys.
Ryan, let me ask you this to start off. Have you seen the photo of Luka Doncic, who is day drinking? Right, we have game one, Dallas Golden State, tonight at 9 o'clock, and there's photos of him online from like 2 hours ago just having a beer, hanging out, and eating some lunch.
I'm all about that.
Love the move for Luka.
I'm fairly confident that that's an old photo. I don't think he's drinking the day before game one of the Western Conference Finals. I could be wrong. I just saw a little bit, you know, of it circulating, but once I did some research, I think that picture's been around for a little while.
All right. I like it better not being around for a while.
Yeah,
let's a beer at lunch. It's okay, right?
Nothing ruins a good story like the facts, right?
Exactly. Don't let facts get in the way of a good time, Ryan. Come on.
That's right.
I got to ask you about the Cavs at number 14 overall. Well, first off, what do you make of the lottery system and how it's currently set up? Are you a fan? Like, when you sit down and watch the show and the product that was last night, do you like that product, or do you feel like they could do anything to advance it, or are you happy where we're at?
Well, I think the changes the league has made in recent years, starting in 2019 with lottery reform and then in 2020 with the play-in, have been good for the league. And one of the things that came up when I was a general manager in Phoenix, 2013 to 2018, and even prior to that, was at a certain point, if you're not going to be in the playoffs, it made sense under the old rules to kind of race to the bottom, especially with the old lottery odds. If you had the worst record, you were guaranteed a top four pick. So I think anything the league can do to change that is a good thing. And they made some very positive steps, with those two things, lottery reform and then also the play-in. As far as the show itself, I think it's fine. I'm not sure what else you could do to spruce it up. They have the drawing in the back room, I think half an hour to an hour before the results are revealed on stage. So maybe showing snippets of that, as kind of a teaser, would spice things up a little bit. But overall, I thought the production value was good. It's always intriguing, and it was fun for me to see some of the videos from OKC in Orlando in particular, to see their fans going nuts. In fact, there was a watch party in Oklahoma City, and there was a big bar. It seemed like there were a couple hundred people who just went absolutely crazy when the Thunder got the number two pick.
Yeah, that was so cool to watch. I like the different elements of that. But at 14, years ago it used to be, if you're picking at 14, it wasn't like it is right now. You're picking at 14, you're like, Jokic, Kawhi, Giannis. So Giannis was 15th overall. Middleton, Siakam, Gobert, all these guys. Jimmy Butler, who had a great game last night. All these guys are taken 14 and later. Why do you feel like there's so much more value now than maybe there was 10, 15, 20 years ago?
That's a really good point. Yeah, when I was GM of the Suns, in a lot of ways we did better probably with our picks in that range than some of the picks we had up higher in the draft. We got Devin Booker at 13 and T.J. Warren at 14 in 2014 and 2015. So I think, guys, sometimes, honestly, there's probably less of an expectation as far as who you're going to pick. I think it's human nature that, people picking in the top, say, three or four in this year's draft, everybody's anticipating that in some order it'll likely be Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, those kind of guys. So if you were to take, say Ben Mathurin or somebody like that, the guard from Arizona, that would be shocking there. But I think in that mid to late lottery, even into the teens, sometimes there's a lot more freedom. There's less pressure to get it right. And sometimes I think that allows you just to take whoever you think is the best player. Even if that's a guy who's, whether that's a guy who's projected to go in the top 10 or a guy who's projected to go in the 20s, if Kobe Altman and his staff think that guy's the best player, then they should take him. And if they hit a home run at 14 with the young talent they have on the roster, then that would set the franchise up very nicely going forward.
Brian, I want to talk about your former franchise, the Phoenix Suns. Very disappointing loss in Game 7 the other night to the Mavericks, and you know, being down like 50 points. I mean, that's something we've never seen before. What did you make of the letdown by Phoenix there in Game 7?
I was as shocked as anybody, maybe more shocked than anybody, because I still live in Arizona. I follow the team closely. I want them to do well, despite not having worked there for the past couple of years. Guys, it was shocking because I can't remember another series, a seven-game series, in which the first six games went the way they did, with the home team not only winning, but winning so easily and so comfortably. Phoenix dominated games 1, 2, and 5 here in Arizona. Dallas won easily in games 2, 3, and 6 in Texas. So game 7 was set up, and I put it, I might have to copy old tweets exposed or whatever it is, old takes exposed. As yeah. You know, I put after the game on Friday, game 6, I said, okay, this is setting up for a Suns, I think, not only a win, but a blowout win. And it was a blowout. I was half right, but the Mavs blew out Phoenix, which is not something I anticipated. So kudos to Dallas. They played almost a perfect game. I thought Luka came out and set the tone early. I thought the Suns got really tight. You could see that from some of the shots they were taking and just not in rhythm. And then Spencer Dinwiddie gave a huge boost off the bench with 31 points in 25 minutes. And Dallas's defensive game plan was outstanding. Give Jason Kidd and his staff a lot of credit. So I thought Dallas played essentially a perfect game. In Phoenix, honestly, guys, I think if they play that game 1,000 times, that would be the worst. The 1,000th out of 1,000. I don't think it could have gone worse than it did for the Suns. And none of their top players, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, or DeAndre Ayton, stepped up in the biggest moments of the game.
Did you think the conversation that Pat Beverly was having about Chris Paul was a little unfair?
Yeah, I'll answer that two ways. I do, and I think one of the easiest things to do in life, guys, for anybody, is to take shots at somebody who is more successful than you are when that person fails, right? So, mm-hmm. Patrick, I don't think anybody would say Patrick Beverly's career is even remotely close to Chris Paul's career in any kind of measurement or metric in terms of awards, money, longevity, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, Chris Paul is one of the best guards to ever do it in the history of the NBA. So I don't like that aspect of it. However, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, if you like that kind of thing, I think that's here to stay. And I think what Turner has done, what Warner Media has done with Draymond Green now, having a media deal with a current player, I think that changed the game. And I think you'll see more and more of this because what was going on Monday in the NBA, well, not much. It was the day between the conference semifinals and the conference finals. It was kind of a slow day. Obviously, Dallas annihilated Phoenix the night before, and that was some of the talk. But most of the talk was Patrick Beverly roasting Chris Paul. And to me, it seemed like the more and more aggressive and outlandish Pat got with his comments, the more airtime and oxygen he got, and more he was on. So, you know, if you like that kind of thing, if you like the takes and the arguing, that's great. I personally would, you know, like to see a little more, I guess, respect from one current player to his peer.
Ryan McDonough is with us on the hotline. Ryan, let's look at last night's game with the Heat and Celtics. Obviously, the Celtics were without Smart and Horford in COVID protocols. They think Smart may come back for game two. Man, that was an interesting game last night because Boston got off to this red-hot start. They were shooting 55% from the field at halftime. Then this monster third quarter by the Heat, you know, just out. I think they went on a 20-2 run there to start the third quarter. A miraculous turnaround by the Heat. I didn't expect that at all. I'm thinking watching this game, like, man, the Celtics are just going to cruise to victory here. What did you think about that game?
I thought the defensive turnaround from Miami in the second half was remarkable. They gave up 42 points in the paint to the Celtics in the first half. 42, which is a ton for those who don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually, you know, sometimes over the course of an entire regular season for the entire league with 1,000-plus games, teams don't score 80. One team scores 84 points in the paint. That's a remarkable number. So I thought Boston got whatever they wanted in the first half, and then whatever Eric Spoelstra said to those guys at halftime, the way they came out in the third quarter, limiting the Celtics to 14 points, I thought they were way more aggressive with their digs and traps. They were physical. Jason Tatum in particular, I thought, got rattled and frustrated. Personally, guys, I wouldn't extrapolate too much from that going forward just because I think the Celtics were tired having played seven games, finishing up game 7 on Sunday and a hard-fought series against the most physically dominant player in the league in Giannis, and then having to travel down to South Beach for game one without Marcus Smart and Al Horford. So I think Boston will bounce back. I think the Celtics still have a chance to win the series, but a huge part of that thesis is them getting Smart and Horford back relatively soon, because Miami is locked in and Jimmy Butler is playing as well. In fact, I think Jimmy Butler may be playing better than any player currently in the playoffs.
He's been so good. Ryan, I want to go back to the Cavs, and I want to use your GM expertise. What do the Cavs need to do to solidify themselves? And you can use anything. You can use the 14th overall pick. You can use Colin Sexton. Any route you need to go to get there, how do you get the Cavs from this year to next year to be a contender in the East?
I think Cleveland's well positioned going forward. Kobe Altman and staff have done a tremendous job. As I've told you guys before, the big winner of the James Harden trade from Houston to Brooklyn was Cleveland. And what they've done, you know, taking advantage strategically over time with Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, I think it's been masterful work. I think the upgrades are pretty clear for me. I think you know, using Colin Sexton potentially in a sign and trade to see what they can do. And then more importantly, beyond Sexton, I think just upgrading on the wing is the next step for this team. They have a young point guard who I think is going to be elite in Darius Garland. He's up for an extension this offseason, and I imagine it'll be a max or near max deal. Garland's played that well. I'm personally a big fan. They locked in Jared Allen last offseason. I think that contract will age well. And then Evan Mobley, you guys know how I feel about him. I think he's going to be a superstar and a guy who has a chance to win multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards. So they're set at a couple of key positions, but I think looking at the front court, maybe Lauri Markkanen, you know, to upgrade on the wing, either, you know, is Sexton in a sign and trade or Markkanen, you know, to balance out their roster. As you guys know, most of the top teams, including the ones who are still playing, have elite wings. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum last night. Golden State's built a little differently, but clearly Luka Doncic tonight. I think getting somebody who can at least hold their own with those guys in a playoff series will be the next step for Cleveland to go from you know, pretty good to very good, and try to solidify themselves as a team that has a chance to get home court advantage in next year's Eastern Conference playoffs.
So, Ryan, you do believe, though, that parting ways with Sexton in a sign-in trade is the right move, then?
I think they have to. Guys, honestly, I'm just looking at their payroll now. It's going to get very expensive, especially after next year when the contract extension for Darius Garland kicks in, or, you know, his contract as a free agent in 2023. They have a number of deals ending then or around then. And, you know, so I think it could get expensive. And I would prioritize Garland and LeVert in that order in the backcourt over Sexton. So if that means Sexton's your third guard, you know, given what I assume Colin wants in free agency, you know, I think that's something they have to at least look at. Now, obviously, you only make a deal if it makes sense for the team, and only Colin and his representatives know his interest or lack of interest in signing the qualifying offer, playing next year on a one-year deal in Cleveland, and then hitting unrestricted free agency in 2023 when he's hopefully healthier and has more of a body of work. So that's the alternative that Sexton and his group have. But, yeah, I just think with the emergence of Garland, he's clearly proven that he should be the guy with the ball in his hands. And then I like LeVert as a secondary playmaker. Given the need on the wing, I'd look at signing trades with Sexton and potentially Markkanen to see if they can bring you a wing upgrade as well.
Ryan McDonough, great stuff, man. We appreciate the insight and appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you later.
Anytime, guys. Always great to be on with you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.